With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 399, the box office report for the week ending August 5th.
Yeah.
2018, there. For 2018. Those listeners who are like, I wonder what happened 10 years ago on episode 399.
Yeah. I can't wait. I wonder how the box office did in this random week in August
It's not like I can't go to the internet. No, I'll go to this podcast.
Well, do you think the internet's going to exist in 10 years?
Who knows?
Where will it go?
It doesn't just disappear.
Just be analog.
Who knows? Yeah, it's going to be a resurgence of cassette tape. So we'll download all these, sold the Real Spoilers cassette collection.
Yeah.
1,000 episode collection.
One tape per episode.
Because it's been what? It's been a little over 5 years. Yep. And we're at 400. So, you know, we'll be getting up there in 10
the
years.
The first year or so, though, it was like one a week. And then
that's
we
true.
Broke
that's
it
true.
Up into two.
Right.
So we'll have
to split those into two cassettes because those were like 9-hour episodes.
Those were pretty egregious.
So we'll have to renumber them. But yeah, so in 10 years, we'll have 1,000. Yeah.
So hello, listener from the future. Yes. If you're listening to this 2 years from now.
We didn't vote for Trump.
Send us a message. Yeah. Let us know what it sounds like 2 years later.
How is President Dwayne The Rock Johnson doing? We hope that he's doing well.
How is President-elect Miss Kardashian?
Oh, God.
You make that noise.
Yeah. I know.
I made the same noise 24 months ago.
Exactly.
And it was just like, oh,
there's
no.
I
guess there is a way.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, life finds a way.
This is why we don't have that listener that we can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Michael Tonkovic.
No, not Michael Tonkovic.
Tom Kaminsky.
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 Yeah. Kaminsky is the baseball part.
Oh, okay.
And Tom Kaminsky gets very upset when you do that because he doesn't like everybody to know this. He owns Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
He gets very upset when
he's
you do
had
that.
To dump a lot of money into the renovations. Not happy about it.
See, I thought he was heir to the Kaminsky fortune, but changed his name so people wouldn't assume that.
We'll go with that. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, why not? You tried.
Like when Jewish people would come to America and their last name was Goldberg, and they didn't want people to know they were Jewish, so they would change it to something like Goldstein.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, I totally see the logic at play here. It makes a lot of sense now that you say it out loud.
Yes. My last name got changed.
There's a more Italian version
yes,
of
there is.
Buttici?
Yes, there is. It was Buttici is how it's originally spelled.
Right.
When my great-grandmother came over, they took the I off and added the E, and that's what it was.
Because they thought that was classy?
They thought it was nicer.
How do you spell your last name now?
Buttici.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Y for
no,
some
the
reason.
Original,
like,
the original spelling is Buttici.
No, what I was thinking of, like Frankie Valli, he wanted to make it Valli with a Y, and he changed it to an
I. That's actually pretty smart.
To be, you know, you're Italian, you need an I on the end of your name. And so I thought that he said it had a Y, and they changed it to
an
okay.
No. It was an I, and then they added an E.
Got it.
And then somebody in our family changed it back, and nobody talks to that guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
my grandfather said if it was good enough for my father, it was good enough for me.
Oh, right.
But it wasn't good enough for his father's father.
But like he lived in the Ellis Island did it. Like that's the way.
Well, that's all the more reason to change it back.
Because that's the traditional.
That's the man holding you down.
Nope. My grandfather. I'm not doing it.
That's your slave name. Right?
Like on Facebook, it's that way, so nobody can. Now they will. Great.
Do you think people really can't find you because your name is Giuseppe Joey Butts Battisi?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's way easier than Joe Battisi.
Yeah, but it's
spelt completely different.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's in there, though. Like, if someone saw it, though, they'd be like, oh, that's the guy.
Uh-uh.
What?
It's not in there. Even like, the little Facebook tag thing isn't my name.
What is it's Giuseppe Joey Butts Battisi?
B-U-T-T-I-C-I.
Oh, with the I?
Yeah.
You know, the thing is funny, though, is that, so they changed the name, but in my opinion, an I on the end makes it so much easier to pronounce your name because
it is
the way it looks now.
Oh, I know what it is now.
Yeah, okay, so I won't say it.
I don't know how to break it to you, but when I type in Joe Battisi, you're the second person it brings up.
Is it me or is it my cousin?
It's you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Unless your cousin is also married to your wife.
Nope. Okay. Not that I'm aware of.
I was pretty sure because I know, like, when I've tried to find something or message you, I've typed in Joe but B, and then it comes up Giuseppe Joey Butts Battisi.
Right.
So
well,
I'm like, so I've always wondered. I'm like, he changed it, but anyone can still find it.
Mark Zuckerberg is on to you.
Yeah,
great. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also his original name, Mark Zuckerstein.
Just a little unknown.
That's a little
fact for
who
you
knew?
Kids.
It's a little Facebook trivia for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's
you're
very
welcome.
Good.
This is the kind of rambling you get after almost 400 episodes.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. We are out of things to say.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about our last names.
Yeah. So,
O'Keefe and Brackett.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, you don't know the cross I bear
with the O'Keefe
having a punctuation
mark.
Oh,
no, that's legit.
In my name.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You know what sucks is to tag you. I can't just type in Tom O'Keefe. It will not pull you up. I have to put in that apostrophe.
Really?
Which, especially on phone, is just such a pain in the ass because I swipe, and you can't swipe to
that's
apostrophe.
Funny. Yeah.
So I have to type O apostrophe, wait, K, because I just want to be like, O-K-E-E-F-E, and just think like, okay, you know.
Right.
No.
That's
I cannot tag you without typing the apostrophe.
They can rig an election, but they can't figure out how to put Tom O'Keefe's name.
Yeah, the apostrophe is just... Yeah. It's funny. I find myself using it less and less because it's just such a pain in the ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well. It's, you know, it's destroying my heritage. Yeah. Not that I give a crap.
Well, you know, potato famine.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's that lousy poetry.
You
want to
talk about the luck of the Irish? Let's talk about the bad luck of the right. Irish. One of my favorite skits, SNL skits ever.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We have a new review.
Ooh.
New zoo review?
I wish. Get a little Henrietta Hippo action.
I didn't even have
reboot.
To guess.
Yeah. Reboot.
Yeah. So, and even better, it's a good review.
Oh, thank God.
Best movie review podcast there is.
I love it. So good. Yeah. He's not wrong.
It says, been listening for a long time now on my Android phone and had to log into iTunes just to give a 5-star review. Hat tip. Because when you haven't logged into iTunes in a while, it is like an act of Congress
it is.
To get back in.
You update it, and then once you're done with the update, you have to update the update
right.
Yes.
Before you can
and
update the
And then it's
going to
tell you your password's wrong.
Right.
And then you're going to change your password.
And then that's wrong.
And then it's going to tell you that that's wrong.
No, seriously, I apologize. And I just want to put the disclaimer, Real Spoilers is not responsible for whatever happens to your computer after you have iTunes installed. Because it's...
You should go to the library and do it.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, do it on their computer.
Yeah.
And also go to the library and just start rating us on every computer. I mean,
yeah, create dummy accounts. Go for it. So he goes on to say, don't bother looking for other movie podcasts as Real Spoilers can't be outdone. Keep the spoilers and laughs coming, fellas. Chris Magic Man.
Hey!
And then his last name, which I don't say because I can never remember how to say it. So
no,
I call
it's
him
Magic Man.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate it. I know he's posted something on the League of Show Shares, you know, about, you know, thanks and shared the show. And I said, oh, if you can write us a review, it means so much because really when people are looking for new podcasts, just to see that it has, you know, 100 and whatever reviews or 200, like as the number goes up, they're going to start saying, okay, these guys are legit. They don't care the like how many episodes you have. I mean, that's part of it, but still, like if it has no reviews, then they're like, okay, so some guy in his basement
right.
is just saving
which
3 minutes. Files
and, actually we are just some guys in the basement.
Well, yeah, there is that.
That's
yeah.
that's true, but you know, people look at it and it's like, well, anyone can just record a podcast no matter what the length is, and you can get 1,000 episodes if you try real hard, but you know, that doesn't mean someone's listening. But when you see 100 plus reviews or 200 or whatever we're up to, and then you see all the written ones, Four, is it? Okay.
We have 163 ratings and 110 reviews.
There you go.
Interesting.
So that means 53 of you people left ratings, but you were too lazy to type something.
But you know what? We don't want them to go back and write a bad review now because we called them out. So thank you very much for that.
We'll take the rating.
Yes. But it's like when people see that and they see 160 something and it's 4 to 5 stars, then they're more likely to subscribe. So thank you very much.
And we do have listeners that came in exactly that way.
Yes.
That like saw us and they're in a feed and then they click through and they're like, oh, there's quite a few good reviews. I'll give them a shot.
Yep.
And then they stuck around for a while.
Exactly. So if you haven't done it yet, I mean, and you just think like, they have 150, like they don't need my review. Like seriously, that's the only way it's going to grow. And the larger that number, the more people will listen.
We want This American Life numbers.
There you go.
Buddy. Sure we do. Yeah.
So thank you. And if you haven't done it yet, if you have the time, please do it. I think Joe said you can go to his house and use his iTunes if you want. So you
have iTunes.
To, yeah. So if you don't,
it doesn't get opened.
Yeah. You just log out of Joe's, log into yours, rate us real quick, and that's you're good to go.
I'd even take like last podcast and the left numbers at this point. Like I feel like that'd be okay.
Yeah.
Or My Favorite Murder.
I don't know what those are.
You've never listened to those? They're great.
No.
They're both like.
I tried My Favorite Murder and I just.
Oh, I dig it. I'm into
it. I just
it.
Was like, eh.
Really?
Who's your favorite murderer?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough. That's a tough one. Manson is always the one the Zodiac.
It's a little on the nose, Manson. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah.
That's like, who's your favorite band? The Beatles.
The Beatles. I think Zodiac is probably my favorite case.
Yeah.
Just because it's so insane that it never got solved.
Is it?
So.
Like, I know a lot of people, I've never listened to Serial, which I know that people
first
say it's
season's
amazing.
Really good.
Yeah.
First season's good. Second season, I
not
bailed.
Good.
Yeah. I mean,
too.
Like, so I've watched shows like Making a Murderer, but there's that question there, like, is he innocent or not? That documentary is trying to prove him innocent. Like, I don't know
that
if
that documentary is super skewed, though. Like it definitely leans heavy into he didn't do it,
yeah.
Or there's collusion.
Well, yeah, but they're whoever it is like making the case because they're like there's so much evidence. Like
well, they released that one kid, they released the kid.
Yeah, but they're like we need to make this because this guy has been in jail and like the
apparently that
evidence.
Prosecutor is a super creep.
Oh yeah, he's like a pedo guy.
Yeah.
Like yeah, no, he's and he looked like a creep. When, yeah, anyway, but my point is that. To me, like, I don't know if I could just listen to podcasts about murderers because it's like they
killed
people.
But also, like, last podcast on the left and My Favorite Murderer both have a comedy element to it. Like, they're not.
I don't know if that makes it better.
It does, though. Like, it's like, not.
Oh, come on. Is dark as our jokes get sometimes.
Right.
Who are we to judge?
No, and it's. I'm not judging. What I'm saying is, like, I don't know that I could listen because, like,
podcast on the left is. Did you ever watch Crashing?
No, you've talked about.
Okay,
that,
so
yeah.
one of the guys from last was on there.
Uh-huh.
Ben Kissel and Marcus Parks are. I think I don't know if they're comedians, but I know Henry Zebrowski absolutely is. And they don't like, but they're also conspiracy nuts.
Okay,
and it's like they're doing one on. I just listened to the Biggie Tupac, mm-hmm. or the Biggie Tupac murders, and like the conspiracy theories behind that.
Yeah,
I just find that kind of stuff super interesting.
Yeah, they're not sitting there like even though I didn't like. Particularly care for My Favorite Murder. They weren't sitting there like, ha ha, you got murdered.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
It was more like talking about the case and they're making jokes along the way
right.
about things that worked or didn't work or
whatever. Or also like they're garbage human beings. Like they're not romanticizing the murderers.
Right, yeah.
Like it's just they're That's telling true. Stories about, you know.
Like the closest thing I can think of is Pain and Gain, where like I couldn't find that movie funny because real people really died.
And I agree.
And they were joking like.
That's not what they're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Like
okay.
that's, yeah. The,
right.
It's more, yeah. I mean, I don't know how to fully describe, yeah. but it's still in good taste.
Yes. Okay, good.
I would agree. It's
well,
good
then
taste,
I
yeah.
will maybe give one a shot. I just have I've always been hesitant because of like the Pain and Gain thing, where I'm like, oh, like if this was fiction, like it would be a funny movie. But
right.
when they're making these jokes, and I'm like,
not
oh, these
fun.
People
it's
died.
Real. It's real
and,
people.
Okay,
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
So while we're in shameless plugs, also don't forget that you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, you can share the show. Join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week, Linnea Thunsell, Ralph Tribble, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Travis Tewitt, Lane LeVanway, Librarian Cynthia, Jason Weese, Julianne Jordan, Jason Michael, Brad Hyan, Timmy Tuzoons, Chris James, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Troy Anspaugh, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders, Brent Smith, Griffin Fox Smith, the aforementioned Chris Magic Man, and Richard Lawson. And don't forget that we have a Patreon. You can go to Patreon.com patreon.com/realspoilers and chip in some money for extra content if you are so inclined.
So we just have a new retrospective.
Yep.
Because of
Predator.
The Predator is coming out. There's a movie later this year that is directed by Shane Black, who of course starred in the first Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger
and wrote it.
And he was a script doctor.
Okay,
I thought he wrote. If you look at those credits, he is front and center.
Yeah.
Written by Shane Black.
The story is he went back. Like, he didn't create it, but he went back and doctored the script.
Gotcha.
But that's 1987's Predator, the original. Joe and I went back and reviewed it. So what we try to do on the Patreon, which of course for $5 or more per month, you get that extra episode a week. And we try to tie it around either a huge current event like Comic-Con and do a recap, or if there's a huge casting news we want to go into right after Avengers with all the crazy stuff that happened in Infinity War. We went through and talked about the comics and what could happen in the future. But lately we've been tying it to going back to Jurassic Park because the new Jurassic World movie, and Mission Impossible. We have one recently because of MI6, and now Predator.
Die Hard recently.
Yeah. So if you want to hear us talk about old movies, like some people have mentioned on the feed, they said, oh, I would love it if you guys went back and reviewed some of these like classic movies, action movies, 80s movies, 90s movies. That's exactly what Joe and I do on Patreon. So you can help support the show and talk about some of your favorite films.
Yep.
Or at least listen to us talk about them.
Yeah, we'll also throw up a polls every once in a while, and you know, what do you want us to? Because like, you guys are paying for it, whatever you want us to talk about.
Yeah, we'll find a way to talk about it. If there's an overwhelming response to something, I mean, we have committed to making at least a show a week. So we're not gonna go review Ben and Jerry's ice creams for an hour. But
what if they want it? What if they say I want muffin recipes?
Done.
Muffin recipes?
Yeah, why not? I'll eat some muffins.
You ain't seen nothing until you're down on a muffin.
Exact. Tom gets it.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you to all our supporters. We read everyone's name at the beginning of the month. So on the first episode of the month for August, we went through and read all our patrons on there. I think there's 24 of them. And also check if you are a Patreon user. I heard that Patreon was having some weird credit card issues. So a couple of people may have gotten their cards declined. Not your fault, but Patreon's fault. So check, and then it may have like canceled your feed and you can't get them. So if you're having trouble, just, I guess, verify your credit card information, update it, and then it should be fine. But it's not your fault. Like, a lot of people online that have Patreons have been complaining to them because it was like whoever their merchant is, I guess. I mean, I don't think it was as bad as a MoviePass issue.
Oh my God. But, what a joke. But also, showing the Meg or Christopher Robin.
Yeah, I mean,
or whatever comes out next week.
That's their new thing. So MoviePass is going from 10 to 15 a month, whatever. I don't care. I mean, it's five, not a big deal. But they're not showing new releases for 2 weeks. So so there's that. And then you, of course, have the restrictions one time per movie. No IMAX, no 3D, none of that.
What's the point?
Premium. Well, I mean, art house.
I guess.
I mean, art house theaters aren't cheap. Like, art house theaters don't generally have $5 showings. Like, even their morning matinees are $7.50, nighttime's 10 or 12, right? And then you can go support independent cinema and watch those. They don't want, because the thing is, they're going to spend $2 million in tickets for Mission Impossible. But for Christopher Robin, for Eighth Grade, for, you know, Lady Bird, when that came out before it went wide, like, they're only going to spend tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands.
How much could Christopher Robin really cost?
That's what
him?
I was thinking the
because
same thing.
The thing is, if you have a movie pass, you don't have one for your kids.
Nope.
Is it a kid's movie?
I believe it is.
Yeah. It's Winnie the Pooh. Okay.
Well, you know how like there was one with Domhnall Gleeson that was a, they were like,
but that was a biopic about the real life.
So this new one's like a straight Winnie the Pooh.
This is Winnie the Pooh movie.
It's Hook.
Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, I mean,
what it is.
The plot is, you know, very similar to Hook.
Yeah, okay. Like he's
grown up, he's lost the, you know, adulthood has pounded the magic out of him.
Right.
Now so it's not a biopic type thing. It's actually Christopher Robin grown up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Because I haven't watched trailers or anything. I want to see it just because.
And he brings back. I mean, I think the only people that come back is the guy that does the voice of Pooh.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
Piglet.
Piglet.
Jim Cummings is
the voice of Tigger. Pooh and Tigger.
Okay. And then Brad Garrett is Eeyore.
And who was really good as Eeyore.
Oh, good.
I didn't care for the Piglet.
The Piglet sounded weird.
Because I always really liked Piglet's voice. Yeah. And I know that actor, like I see, he's in 12 Angry Men and lots of different
things. Is he still
alive? No, he died
back. Okay.
I'm sure they would have brought them back if they could.
And then Kanga and Roo, which are nondescript voices.
Yeah.
Who is the old Winnie the Pooh? Ed? Who was the guy that did like the snake and Robin Hood and... Like the original
Sterling.
I thought the guy that was Winnie the Pooh has always been Winnie the Pooh.
No. Sterling Holloway.
There we go.
Yep, Sterling Holloway. He was Winnie the Pooh. He was Ka in Jungle Book, the cartoon. Yeah. You know,
yeah. You'll see him pop up in movies sometimes too, and it's always very jarring
because his voice sounds.
He shows
like
up in like old westerns. Yeah. And it's like it's Winnie the Pooh. He's like, I'll kill him for some honey.
Yeah, he was in a lot of black and white movies. Like he was an actor in that time period. So same thing. I've seen him pop up, and I'm like,
just like Winnie the Pooh.
You know, it's that guy though, because right? The voice,
and it's
not
the same thing with the guy who's the voice of Piglet. You watch 12 Angry Men, and you're just like, well, that's Piglet. There's just no two ways about. It.
Wow.
Like Piglet is on a jury.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, but is it pretty good?
Well, we have a box office report, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even know if it ended up.
He's like, oh, are we still doing that?
I guess that's all.
So,
the plugs,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, shameless plugs. Let's turn our eyes to the box office.
Let's
Kevin
do that.
Has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And I don't think it's a huge surprise that Mission Impossible Fallout in week two ended up beating Disney's Christopher Robin. It made another $35 million, which is a 42% drop from opening weekend, $124 million domestic, $205 million overseas, of course.
I feel like that's a little light. Overseas,
I don't think so.
It might not have rolled out fully.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's only in week two, so I mean,
not
it's doubled.
Opens simultaneously.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. DC has to do that because they don't want the bad reviews to ruin it.
Like if somebody translates this review into Portuguese, we're screwed.
But I mean, yeah, it's up to $329 million in 2 weeks on a 178. So,
Did you hear the latest on Mustache Gate?
No. What?
Is that the guys from Mission Impossible were just like, yeah, man, go ahead and shave it. Like, we'll just put one on you. It's not a big deal. And Warner's was like, nah, we got it. No worries. They offered to let him shave the mustache off.
I thought the whole deal was that they wanted to, and they adamantly...
Nope. One of the producers was like, nah, man, we told
them. Mission Impossible people said you could
shave. Yeah, they're like, go ahead and shave it off. Like, it's easier for us to just paste one on your face.
Of course, millions of dollars, because it costs millions of dollars.
They said, go ahead and shave it off. Not a big deal. If you have to go back and do that, we'll stop production for a little bit. Not a big deal.
I can't believe that.
And Warner Brothers was like, nah.
But the good news is at all the Six Flags across America, there's a new Superman mustache ride.
I was like, derpy lip Superman?
Wow. Yeah, I really wish that when you go to Six Flags and see the Superman ride with all the like stand-ups and the wall art of Superman, they should just put a mustache on.
I always find that funny. Like, so I feel like the Six Flags are always, I don't know, like a month or two behind the trends in the comics. So, and his costume has changed.
Sure.
Like in the last year, at least four times.
Right. Oh, they're not redoing Six Flags to have the latest costumes.
But like,
costumes.
Like if you go to Six Flags, he's still rocking the new 52 suit.
Right.
And they have gone back to pre new 52 suit.
No, yeah.
Suit.
No, it's Six
I'm
Flags.
Surprised
is
they
not...
ever bothered to get him the new 52 suit at all.
Yeah. I think that was a company wide rollout. Like, you can't look like that anymore. They have to wear this stupid fragmented steel costume.
I mean, if you've been to a lot of theme parks, like, I mean, those rides cost millions of dollars. Everything costs so much money. Like, they're not going every time there's a character or design update and, like, putting new graphics up. No, that's completely, like, there
you
will
go to our Six Flags, he's still got a mullet.
Yeah.
he's still rocking the blue electric suit.
Yes.
No, he's in the one from the original Action Comics
with like, the triangle S.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has circus boots.
They're like, this is fine. No one will know the difference.
It's Superman.
Yeah.
Our Hulk is gray. Yeah. I know he's Marvel, but I wanted to do a gray Hulk joke.
That's good.
Shut up, all of you.
Was he the smart Hulk? Which one was he?
That's at Universal Studios. I wouldn't be surprised if they had gray Hulk over there because you've seen those costumes.
Ooh, you do that he's ride got, a couple times.
You're gray.
You'll be a gray Hulk.
I know. It's a really good ride, but yeah, I've tried to do it a couple times before in a day, and that was a mistake. But anyway, 329 worldwide on a 178. So I don't think that's too bad.
No, it's actually ahead of the pace of last time. I saw that in 10 days last, was it Ghost Protocol?
Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation. Yeah. In 10 days did 110. At 10 days, this is at 124.
Good, yeah. So we saw opening weekend was like 20 million ahead. So it's doing some good money, and obviously the word of mouth is great, and you can go listen to our review from last week. But coming in at number two, the aforementioned Disney's Christopher Robin open to $25 million, and do we have any overseas? 4.8, so
wow.
It's at about $30 million. I do not have a budget. Did you find anything on Wikipedia?
Couldn't have been cheap.
No, I'm thinking, I bet you it was 80.
You think
80?
So? Yeah, I can
that's
see
my
that.
Guess.
That's, yeah.
I'll go look it up and see if it's on there, but my guess
I feel like that's a swing 80. And a
I'm
miss.
I'm going to say 60. I don't think it's that high. But so for the foreign total, that $4.8 million, they don't have it broken down by countries yet, I don't think. I was going to see where that was accounted for, but it's probably not even a wide rollout yet.
Budget $75 million. Boom.
Wow, look at that.
I just feel like, I don't know, in the recent live, but I guess this isn't an adaptation. It's an original story.
Yeah, and it's a continuation, ultimately.
Well, I guess that's true.
And it's really similar, more similar in tone to the books than the movies.
Ah.
Because the books are good, but they've always had this kind of sense of sadness over them.
Sure.
Especially that first one but the one where Christopher Robin grows up at the end. It's just like, dude, that's a gut punch.
Wow. Or he just leaves him behind.
Oh, yeah. Man. It's just
brutal. It's like a Toy Story thing.
I heard that somebody compared this to Toy Story 3.
Yeah. Toy Story 3 is way better.
Right. I just mean like in tone.
I guess. But like, it's hard to compare because I get where they're going, but like, Winnie the Pooh as a property is always, they're pretty quiet.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not like, you know, Toy Story.
Slow and steady.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is it's cute.
Got it.
Like, you know, it's 2 hours of cute. It probably should have been like an hour 40 of cute.
Okay.
It's a little bit longer than it needs to be.
Yeah.
But
you think kids would be antsy during it?
The kids at my screen sure were.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might see it without
Ryan.
It does not
seem like a kids movie.
I mean, there's nothing in there that kids can't see.
Right.
You know, but
that's
I think
why I didn't think it was aimed towards kids, because from what I saw of it, it seemed like a movie that, I'm not saying, kids couldn't see it, but it seemed like a movie for adults that grew up with Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
They wanted to see the story. Like, it didn't, to me, scream like Hotel Transylvania 3, kids movie.
Right.
This movie, I never thought of as a kids movie.
I think this is a kids movie in the same way that Pete's Dragon was a kids movie.
Ah.
Okay.
You know
what
I mean? I can see that.
It's for a certain type of kid.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
weird kid.
And a kid that's got a little bit more patience about him.
Oh,
or
sure.
Her, you know?
Is a certain type of special for a kid.
Yeah, because it's not like this nonstop cacophony of just
jokes and lights and flashes.
Yeah, like it's, you know, like it. So, I mean, but it was cute.
I really like the character design.
Yeah, I like
the way they make them look.
They don't look like they just took the cartoon and made it come to life.
Yeah.
But it still looks enough like the cartoon. Yeah.
They look like stuffed animals.
They look like stuffed
animals,
which is what they are.
Yeah. So, like, it's weird to see that in real life, because cartoon, that's really easy to do. But in real life, it's like, how do you make that blend in? And they did a really good job with
those designs. You got the right guy to play off of. Like, Ewan McGregor figured it out in episode one, how to play off something that isn't there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, he had to do that in this one as well. So,
yeah.
And at least he knows in this one that when it's all said and done,
he's going to be okay.
People will think that it's a cute character he's playing opposite of.
Yeah, not somebody they want to murder.
They're going to be like, Winnie the Pooh ruined my childhood.
So
I saw in the opening credits of Winnie the Pooh that Toby Jones is one of the voices.
Oh, really?
And he's the voice of Owl.
That seems really fitting, actually.
Well, then I felt like a dick because I was like, I just assumed he'd be Piglet. Right, and so
that's fair.
And I'm just, like, my was that offensive?
I just assumed
Toby Jones would be Piglet.
I don't know. No. When you say that, though, like, I could see his voice like lending itself to Owl. I think that's a really good choice. But I haven't seen the movie or the clips. But anyway, yeah, okay. Well, $25-30 million worldwide. The budget is 75, like Tom said. So we'll see what that does in the upcoming weeks.
And now they have, and since Disney now has the backstory on the rights to Winnie the Pooh, right?
No,
they were tied up with Fox, weren't they?
They were tied up with Sears.
What?
Yeah, so like they sold the merchandise. So to acquire Winnie the Pooh was like kind of a fallow period for Disney Studios, and so they sold the merchandising rights to Sears.
Oh.
And so Sears,
because Disney's always done the movies, right?
They did the movies, but like they sold the merchandising rights to Sears, and Sears I think had like a 30-year deal, and they could when I was growing up, the only place you were going to get a Winnie the Pooh toy with Sears.
Sounds like it.
Interesting.
So yeah.
Weird.
And they got it back, I think, maybe 10, 15 years ago. I just thought it was a funny story.
You don't see that ever anymore.
Sears, like, a really popular department store before
Walmart? Sears and Roebuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sears was like a juggernaut. Like,
because now I think of it like you go there for your tools.
Right.
If they're still
around.
And
you don't even do that. Like, they sold off Craftsman.
I know.
Oh, they did,
like,
didn't they?
Yeah.
But when I think Sears, I think of the tractors, the grills, the...
Sears kind of began as... I mean, it was about that catalog.
Yeah.
And, like, They would literally, like, you could buy a house out of a Sears catalog, and they would send you the pieces, and you would assemble it. And, like, if you were out, like, in Montana,
yeah,
you'd order that from a Sears catalog, and they'd ship that to you.
Wow.
And so, but no, I mean, Sears was like a beast, and I know Sears used to take a lot of heat because they would, you know, they had their own in-house product lines, right? So, like, appliances were all Kenmore.
Sure.
Right? Kenmore meant you bought it at Sears. You could only get it at Sears.
Okay.
And so, but they would come in and they'd find people that were making a product. Like, oh, you make dishwashers. And they'd be like, can you make our dishwashers and put a Kenmore label on it? And they'd be like, oh, man, yeah, we're going to be. Because Sears at the time was selling stuff like crazy. Like, oh, yeah. And they'd do that. And then they'd do that for a year or two. And then they'd be like, oh, man, we're going to need even more. And they'd do even more. And then they're like, oh, man, we're going to need more. And now they're making so many that, like, this company starts letting the other clients drop because so they can keep up with the Sears demand. And then once they are, like, 90% Sears, then Sears would come in and be like, yeah, and we're going to pay, like, half of what we used to pay.
Right.
What are you going to do about it?
You've already screwed over those
guys. You ran off everybody. Yeah. And they would, and then they would scoop up these companies for pennies on the dollar and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
So... it got a little, but they had their own version of the Atari 2600. It was compatible.
Oh.
But they, you know, but like,
Sears,
you know,
had an exclusive Sears version?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting. I had no idea. And I mean, I know that I've been to Sears. They have clothes, they have shoes. Like, I've seen all that other stuff, but I just, when I think of Sears, I would only go there, like, go pick up, like, online, you know, $20 down from 40 for, like, a screwdriver set with 100 pieces. So I'm like, oh, it's a great deal. And I would go, you know, to their pickup thing and get it. But, like, I never was like, oh, let's go shopping for our, you know, decor, like, bedspreads. Like,
they used to have, they
type.
Were a department store. Yeah. Like, they were.
Yeah, it was back when, like, the mentality was, like,
the mall mentality.
You could go there and get anything.
Yes.
You could buy lawnmowers and tools,
but
and
I mean,
TVs
like Walmart,
and
like
clothes.
Walmart is the current. You can go get
that. I mean, the Crestwood Mall had, that was the mall that was the popular mall when I was a kid.
Wow.
Was it had a Penny's, it had a Sears,
and it had a Exilorama. Thank you very much. That is the real.
Yes.
Back when there were arcades, that was my jam.
that was where you would
go. I miss arcades, and I get why they don't exist anymore, but it was so fun to go there to those, like, huge two-story or just, like, gigantic
arcades.
That
place was, it was, it may have been three stories.
Yeah, it was huge. I know it was at least two, but I mean, it was like a mall itself. It was just gigantic.
Yep, you put your quarters on the screen when you were wanted to play next.
And then it turned into Tilt.
It was just fine. Like, it was just the same thing. Just
You know what wasn't fine? When I saved up tens of thousands of tickets to Exilorama.
Dummy.
And Tilt would not take my Exilorama tickets.
Oh, that's...
It is, to this day, it is so depressing.
You had Confederate currency.
I did. I mean, because my mom used to take me there, you know, like, once every weekend or two, you know, and it was a big deal, and I was saving my money or my tickets for the big prize, and they switch over companies, and Tilt was Namco with all their little Pac-Man tickets or whatever, and they would not take my Exilorama. I was so heartbroken. I still have the bag. I can't get rid of it.
Just in case they come back.
No, it's just like, it's this
principle.
It's a gallon Ziploc container packed with these tickets. And like,
I'm sure Kitty loved when she's going through stuff in the house. She's like, why do we have this?
It's just one of those things that, like,
throw it away.
I know. It's just one of those nostalgia type things. And especially because tickets, like, other than Chuck E. Cheese, where do you go to an arcade and get tickets?
Where do you go to an arcade?
Right.
And the Sears video, it was called the Sears Video Arcade.
Wasn't that clever?
It looked almost identical, and it was their private label version, but the games were completely compatible.
That's funny.
Yeah,
there
everything.
Wow. Well, rest in peace, Sears, as they continue to...
Oh, and some more Winnie the Pooh stuff? Yeah. It will get no money in China. China's refusing to release it.
Why? Talking animals.
No.
Stuffed animals?
Because apparently there's a meme that got a lot of traction in China that was comparing their president to Winnie the Pooh because he's kind of
dumpy.
And
it's not like Disney released that meme.
I know, but like he doesn't want anything to heighten or get Winnie the Pooh on anybody's radar. So the Winnie the Pooh movie cannot be released
in
China.
Crazy. I'm sure Disney's like, son of a.
Yeah. I mean, that's a shame. I mean, obviously Disney's going to be okay, but what a bummer.
Yeah.
Moving on to number three, the movie of the week, The Spy Who Dumped Me, made $12.3 million at the old box office here. No overseas, but a $40 million budget. So, yeah. So anyway, we'll get into that.
Yes.
Get into that one, unfortunately.
Yes, we shall.
Number four, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. $9 million in week three. So still making money. Small drop.
This is going to be one of those.
Yeah.
It's just going to hang around.
I think it was last time,
too. It was,
yeah. 40% drop in week three. So it's up to $91 million. So you can listen to that episode from a few weeks ago. It's actually made $139 million overseas.
That episode has made $139 million.
Why haven't I seen that?
Why have we not seen any of this money? Yeah, what are you doing?
Because the overseas money goes into a special account, gentlemen. But that is surprising to me. I mean, I know music can translate, but like seriously, Mamma Mia 2, $139 million in 3 weeks. That blows my mind. But $230 million on a $75 million budget. So I guess they did the right thing with making that movie.
Yeah. And now it's just gonna hang around there.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to figure out how to make another sequel.
Oh, they'll figure it out.
And in between
Sophie's dead.
In between
so they can get Meryl Streep.
Yeah, it's just gonna be the
baby.
It's the baby.
The baby's three. They're
gonna boss baby it.
Mamma Mia Adventures.
Yeah, exactly. Mama, yeah. Anyway, but so that one's doing pretty
Mama
well.
Mamma Mia 3, The Lost Batch.
Yeah. Coming in at number 5, The Equalizer 2, which I ended up seeing last week.
I'm telling you, the third one, Baby Got the Diarrhea.
What more could you want?
Right? Like, I mean, we've moved on to Equalizer 2, Tom.
I had a diarrhea joke.
They're going to name the baby Fernando, and it's just going to be Fernando.
What if it was directed by Darren Aronofsky?
Oh my God! Oh. Sign me up!
Right, they could eat the babies.
Yeah, that's right.
Darren Aronofsky's Mamma Mia, like lowercase exclamation point. That's all it would be. So anyway, The Equalizer 2, another eight or nine million here is a 37% drop. So still sticking around with about $80 million domestic, 7.7 overseas. So
it's like if you're afraid your heart can't take Mission Impossible,
go see The Equalizer 2.
You test the waters with an Equalizer 2.
Yeah. The sequelizer.
So yeah. It's about $90 million on a $62 million budget. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that you guys enjoyed it, but I thought it was boring.
No, I thought it was fine.
You said the first one was boring. Like, I loved the first one, and this one I thought was a snooze fest, but it was okay. I didn't leave it like this was terrible, but I was like, oh my God, looking at my watch. Like, oh.
That's how I was for The Spy Who Left Me.
Well, that's a whole different story there, but.
Yeah, keyword dump.
Yeah. Number 6, Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation. Still racking in the dough in week 4, $8.2 million, a 33% drop, $136 million domestic, and $202 million overseas. So quickly approaching the $350 million mark on an $80 million budget. So another successful.
Just keep funding those Sandler flicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here comes Hotel Transylvania 4,
oh, yeah.
Spring Break.
I have no doubt.
Absolutely. Number 7, Ant-Man and the Wasp made $6.1 million, a 29% drop. So, wow, small drop in week 5 for that. It's approaching $200 million domestic now, and it has $230 overseas. So it's pretty solid, $426 million. Did we say a $120 budget? They still don't have it listed. I think it was $120. So, I mean, it's over three times its budget.
Yeah,
so
making that's pretty good.
Ant-Man's always been one of those. Like, the first one didn't do insane, but it made solid numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And this one's taken some really slow drops. So, I mean, I'm sure they're happy with that. And
now James Gunn's not getting rehired.
He never was getting hired.
True. It was all speculation.
It's just the rumor mill was like, sources say they're talking about it. Now sources are saying, like, they're not going to. So,
Somebody posted a meme of... It said, you know, the Disney, we're going to fire James Gunn because of, you know, the tweets. And then underneath it, it's like, but what about Robert Downey Jr.?
Right.
And it's got a picture of Jim from The Office just like looking through the blinds, smiling.
I know. We've talked about it ad nauseum. So.
I think somebody on our message board posted it.
They did. Yeah. Someone just posted it because of we just talked about
it.
So anyway, so we'll see where Ant-Man and the Wasp lands, but doing pretty well for itself. Number 8, another new movie of the week, but not making too much. The Darkest Minds with a $5.8 million opening weekend on a $34 million budget. Brad Hyen reviewed it for ReviewSTL.com. F.
My stepdaughter's going to see this right now, so probably add like $8 to that.
Oh, okay.
I thought this was the Jim Carrey movie.
No.
Oh.
He said that's been out for a while.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Oh, that's I just saw a trailer for it.
No, like it's on Redbox, so I mean it's for sale and digital and all that. Well, I don't know what it's called, but yeah, this movie from everybody that I've heard, but you know, of course I read Brad's review, but this movie's horrendous, apparently. So, and it's, I think he said there's 6 books in the series it's based off of.
No, there's not.
There ain't going to be 6 movies.
Right. So 5 million out of 34. And overseas, it did another 4. So, I mean, they're up over 9 on a 34. But yeah, I don't think there's any legs to this one. So
this isn't a Blumhouse. That's too much for a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah.
Oh, 34? Oh, my God. That's a 6 movies if they filmed 6 movies back to back, maybe. But anyway, so you can go read the review on ReviewSTL.com for that one. Number 9, The Incredibles 2. That's in week 8. So as we've talked about before, it made a ton of money, made another $5 million, a 31% drop, brings it up to $583 million domestically, another 463.9, 464 we'll call it. So it is up over $1 billion, 1.047. I mean, that I expected it would do well, but I just think that's amazing. 14 years later,
what do they have in the pipeline?
Pixar?
Yeah. Like, usually there's at least an announcement of something.
Toy Story 4 is 2020, I want to say. I don't think it's next year. I think it's 2020. That's a good question. What else, are
like,
there,
usually they announce it.
Yeah, I don't think
right
there's any
around
other sequels. There's an original, I think. And I can't, like, the next one.
Newt.
Is
Newt?
That?
Okay. Oh, it's about the girl from Aliens.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing.
They
acquired Fox
deal.
Yeah.
So what they usually do now, since they started making a lot of sequels, is they'll do a sequel, then they'll do the original.
Right,
so
they had
Coco. Now they, you know, so they've been going back and forth. So we'll see what
and
that.
And what does Disney Animation have? They've got
Wreck-It Ralph 2. Yeah.
And that's it? Oh, Frozen 2.
Frozen 2 is in production as well. And the director, the female director of Frozen, is now the head of Disney. Like, she took over
that's
for Lasseter,
right?
Lasseter. So yeah.
They're like, here's
Disney
somebody
Pixar
that won't get handsy.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but Frozen was a phenomenon. So
oh,
if you're
dude, that
pick
thing
some,
was.
If you're going to pick, and she has done other things, but, you know, she's the director of Frozen. So I feel like that's a pretty solid choice to take over.
It's weird. Like, I always picture these, like, I figure that Kevin Feige or John Lasseter or those guys would have, like, a protege.
Yeah.
You know, like
Kathleen Kennedy,
any of those people would have somebody not waiting in the wings, but
sure.
Like,
I mean, when they retire,
that,
when, you know, that would be the plan, not to get fired, but when you retire,
right,
pass the torch.
Yeah.
But,
well, at this point, you're just hoping you're not getting fired.
But, you know, I think the thing is that there are so many movies, so many studios, and the industry changes so quickly where, like, you know, the big movie comes out and it's a phenomenon, and then it's like, you know, let's go get this guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think they don't want to just be like, you know, this guy's been working for 15 years, so we have to give it to him.
Sure,
I feel like they're like,
sure,
wow, someone over here proved themselves with the Marvel Universe or whatever the big thing is, and it's like, we got to get that guy.
Yeah, the Marvel thing is so interesting because it was Feige and Joss Whedon. Like, they were kind of like the guys that were the building blocks
long,
of that.
Long time since
and now
Joss Whedon.
Yeah,
is,
Joss Whedon has disappeared.
Buffy remake.
Yeah, he's like, well, I mucked up Justice League. What have I got? Firefly?
No.
Dollhouse? No. Buffy.
Yeah,
I got Buffy. So. But yeah, now it's the Russos.
Oh my gosh.
Like the
Russo
brothers,
the Russos are the guys.
Yeah.
It's interesting how things change, but see how quickly they change, where it's like you might have said, oh, well, Joss Whedon would take over if Kevin Feige ever, but it's been like 7 movies since that was an actuality.
He wasn't around. He hasn't been around since Avengers 2.
Yeah. Well, he had his own little Me Too.
He did. He did get himself. Yep.
Forgot about that.
Kind of, that did go away.
Yeah, because it was quick. Like, they didn't stick
around.
It
was his ex-wife?
Yeah, well, and apparently he was just a complete serial adulterer.
Oh, wow.
And that, and I think some of it, I'm doing this from memory, so if I'm wrong, I apologize, but like a lot of it happened on set. And and he was kind of like, hey, you work for me and we get along really well. Mm-hmm. And I'm a really nice guy. And
I'm a feminist.
Yeah. No, let me put it in you.
That's on My Favorite Murderer. They say that, like, that's always the ones who are like out in front of in the public who are just like, feminism and women's rights are the ones that are always.
Well, we talked about this,
bags,
like, oh, you know, homophobia, like, you know.
Oh, sure.
The,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, and you just caught me in the bathroom.
Okay.
Having a...
That happened to me.
Wait, you got caught in the bathroom?
No. I went to the Quick Trip because I had to use
the
restroom.
Toe tap?
I got the toe tap.
Right after you
I
just heard
swear
about it for the first time.
No, yeah, like it happened 2 weeks ago and I forgot. Like, I just
what
remembered
if
it
was happening and you didn't realize it before now that we talked about
I
it?
I was taking care of business and this foot slid under the door and tapped. And I was just like,
you should see,
you say,
you know what,
no.
You know what you should have done is just slid your badge under
your gun.
I
tap the gun under the stall.
Like, you know, I'm mucking around on my phone and I'm just like, what? No. And it slid away and I heard the door open and close.
It's just I was shocked.
You've never heard of that in two weeks after we talked about it.
Yes.
See? There you go. It's a real thing.
Totally real thing.
We tried to tell you. We may have saved you from an embarrassing confusion.
I feel like that's not that. I would not have been that confused when all of a sudden the guy's like, eh? Whoa. I just thought you wanted some toilet paper.
As now it's a quickie trip.
Oh, wow. So, anyway.
So random.
Congratulations to The Incredibles 2, the children's movie.
He literally would have been a random.
That's true.
So, rounding out the top 10 is Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Oh, nice. That's number 10?
Yep.
Good for it.
4.8 million, 53% drop brings it to 20 million. It had a $10 million budget and overseas another 2.4, so about 25 on a 10.
I have to believe this was a TV movie.
It's not.
Oh, really?
I saw it. I really enjoyed it. The quality is cinematic. So, like, when you see The Simpsons movie, that clearly wasn't an episode that they released on. You know, it has that cinematic feel.
But they still do that to launch shows. I mean, as far back as, like, Jimmy Neutron, there was the movie, which looked way better than the TV show. And then the TV show looked good, not at the same. So they could theoretically. Okay. I don't know. Sure. I guess if they were going to do that, we'd have been hearing about a TV show launch by now.
Right, right. But, like, the quality-wise, though, I mean, it has the cinematic look. The plot, I mean, there's a lot to it. Like, it doesn't seem like a cheap, like, this was a DVD.
Right.
And it's very goofy. So, like, if you've ever seen Teen Titans Go.
It's very tongue-in-cheek.
Like, it's very goofy, though. Yeah. I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek, but it's also very.
It's also the Titans lineup that I love the most.
Yeah. But like, it's juvenile. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but I mean, they do make fart jokes. They do make it's goofy. It's very silly. I thought it was funny. I laughed. I don't watch the show. Ryan does. He loved it. But I did find myself laughing out loud with some of the ridiculous stuff. And it's a great commentary on superhero films because, I mean, we obviously are for the past 10 years. I mean, we are bombarded with them. And the whole point of this is the Teen Titans. They want to get their own movie. But like Batman's getting a movie, Superman, Wonder Woman, they show all the real, you know, and then they show like Green Lantern. And they're like, we don't talk about that, but they're all getting movies, but they're like, you're just goofballs, like, say something like, you're just goofballs. And so they're so sad, and Robin, who's the head of them, like, he wants nothing more than a movie, and he's depressed because
that's
like,
why he says F Batman.
I was gonna say this is such a weird to release that trailer for the Titan show, compare it like as this is coming out.
Yeah, that is a weird,
very
timing.
Weird, like, it's not
totally
good timing.
Yeah. So
you tell me Warner Brothers made a bad decision.
Shocking. I know,
it's funny. I mean, if you like the show, first of all, you'll love the movie. There's songs in it, it's hilarious, it's really good. But there are some moments where I was like gasping because it's impressive in a kid's movie. They did what they did. So, you know, not to spoil too much, but I got to say this part. So Robin does not want the main superheroes to get their own movies. So his idea is to go back in time and make sure they never become superheroes. So Robin travels back in time with the Teen Titans, and he Aquaman is learning how to swim, I think, and he takes his floaties away, so he drowns. And Batman, he goes to the alley. Okay, and it's really funny. Like, and this is the humor where they're like, why don't you get on this alley? And there's one that's like rainbows and gumdrops. And so he's like, that's called Crime Alley, for God's sakes. And so he
now
sends
hold
him
on
down
a
there.
Second. Yeah. Let me point out the flaw in this.
Then Robin would cease to
exist.
Okay, but it's very it's a very
well, he would exist, but he wouldn't be Robin.
Right, right.
Or he may have been Batman. Because I mean, the Graysons are still going to die.
Right.
Yeah, but they die in a freak accident.
Sure.
No, they don't.
No. Well, I mean, it was
Tony Zuko was murdered.
They retconned. Oh yeah. They're murdered by a gang lord.
So this is what happens. So they go back and they're like, all right, so none of these superheroes exist, and you see them fade away from like their number one issues. Like, it's real, like Back to the Future. It's very, I think they play the song. So they go back to the present, and then the entire world is on fire and the villains are all still there destroying the world. So like, oh crap, we got to go back. So they go back and they save Aquaman. They take Batman's parents and push them into Crime Alley, and you hear gunshots.
Wow.
God.
I gasped out loud because, I mean, like, I get that, like, that was going to happen anyway, but they take them and push them, and it goes, and then, like, Batman's, Bruce Wayne's crying. Like, it's just, like, it's a ballsy movie. Like, they do not hold back. It's very funny, but it is not, like, G-rated material. They push the boundaries, and so it's a great commentary on superhero films. It's very funny. If you like the show, you'll love the movie. So I'm
plus Nicolas Cage finally gets to be Superman.
And Nicolas Cage voices Superman.
So good.
So I'm glad it's doing well because really it's a fun little movie.
Did you ever see that doc?
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
Oh yeah.
I feel
that's John Snap, right?
It is. Yeah. Where they like the picture that Singer would carry, like it's that the picture that we all saw initially.
Yeah.
Was like he looked doped out of his head and the costume was wonky. But then Schnepp was just like, here's the other picture they don't show you. And
oh, there was a good one.
There's two of them. There's one that's like a black and white where he's got short hair and it's like slick back and it's good. Like it's a good looking suit.
I think I remember that.
And
now,
there's a
yeah.
second one that's him in the,
like, oh, yeah, I remember the black and white.
Like
yeah,
a, yeah. It's like a full colored suit. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh,
yeah, maybe this could have worked.
Maybe it could have worked. Yeah, like, yeah. What a weird, yeah.
It's a great doc. Didn't he come out with another doc?
He was making it.
What?
Oh. I think he was working on a Justice League doc.
The Justice League.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
I wonder the George Miller. No,
yeah.
That's too
yeah.
bad. But anyway, so that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess it's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
Or a Quick Trip. Yeah. This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show, you can do so on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Don't forget our Patreon account, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. That's it for this one. Coming up next one, we will tackle The Spy Who Dumped Me. Until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.